Last Sunday, and I know not everyone that is here this morning may have been here last Sunday, but we spoke about the message was on Speak, Lord. And I wonder this morning if there is anyone that has heard the voice of the Lord speaking to you this week. Whether it was through the inspiration and dealings of the Holy Spirit or if it was through His Word in the questions that you had, in the situations that you face, looking for guidance, looking for understanding or wisdom, or maybe there was a place of correction that the Holy Spirit maybe corrected you in some areas and showed you where He wanted some changes being made. Once we hear the voice of the Lord, and once He has spoken, we are left with a decision, aren't we? Told the young people this morning, it is one thing when counsel is given from your parents to nod your head and you can be very respectful. Yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and you can say the right things to make your parents feel a little better about things. But really, then if you go and you can go and do differently, but you can do, put on that, you know how to, I don't want to say manipulate, but you know what I'm saying, the right words, and you think that, oh, I've got the wool pulled over my parents' eyes and I've said the right things and they feel comforted, and yet you go and do differently. We can do that with God this morning. We can spiritualize things to make ourselves look better, but the question this morning is for us, if you know what God desires from your life, if you know what the Lord is asking for, are we being obedient to His voice? Are we being obedient to what the Bible teaches? People many times saying, oh, I'm looking for the Lord to tell me what to do. He already did. In many situations, it's in the Word of God. But the question is, are we living a life of obedience to where we are not only saying, yes, Lord, but that we are doing what He says? And that is a very personal thing this morning. So we're going to continue with a simple message. Is that all right? It shouldn't be difficult to understand this morning. If you will turn with me to the book of Acts in the 22nd chapter, I'd like to begin reading. We're going to save a little time, but maybe going down to verse 6. Paul was giving his testimony. You remember the story of when he was on the road to Damascus? And it's repeated in the 22nd chapter of Acts and also Acts chapter 9. But in the 22nd chapter, it said, it came to pass that as I made my journey, and let me just begin here. Let's back up just a little bit. In verse 3, he said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, the city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God. So, first of all, Paul, as a little background, he was a Jew, all right? He was born, his parents were both Jews. He was born in a city, though, that was a Roman city. So, although Paul was a Jew, he was a Roman citizen, and that is important. Remember when he was put in prison, and he said, hey, what are you doing? You're doing this to a Roman, and they were afraid because they'd beaten a Roman citizen. So, he was more than just a Jew. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. It is interesting to note that the name Paul means humble, but it also means little. Now, historically, it's difficult sometimes to know the veracity of what you read, but some of the ancient writings postulate that Paul was about 4.5 feet tall. So he was a little man. He was a short man, but he, as you know, as you read in the scripture about Paul, he was fiery. He was zealous. And we find that before he was converted on the road to Damascus, he believed in the law. He was a very educated man. In one place in Corinthians there, he said, I speak in more tongues than you all. He was not speaking in a celestial language. He was not speaking in jibber-jabber, but in his education, he had learned more languages than many of the people. So he was very fluent in his language. He understood many languages. He was learned. He had gone and studied at, if you will, the university as such, in Jerusalem, and had studied divinity. This is our language now. He had gone to seminary, so to speak. He had studied under the most learned philosophers and Jews of the day. He was from a very strict sect of the Pharisees. So they believed in the law of Moses. Very strict. He was a very strict adherent to the law. And that is the reason he hated Christianity. Because Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law and he brought in a new covenant. Paul was back holding on to the old covenant and he felt like Jesus was a threat to what God wanted in the old covenant. So that's where we find him on the road to Damascus out ready to persecute and put to death and imprison Christians, enemies of God, so he thought. So we find here that as he went along, he said, I made my journey in the sixth verse and came nigh unto Damascus about noon. And suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying, now here is a man that was wrong in what he was doing, but he was zealous to serve God. And the Lord Jesus revealed himself to him. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered and said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? Has anybody asked yourself that this week? What do you want me to do, Lord? Are we afraid to ask the Lord what he wants us to do? Has anybody here besides me hesitated because you already knew what he would say? I asked the young people this morning, I said, have you ever known when your parents were going to have a talk and you already knew what they were going to say? Because you'd heard it many times before. Have you ever been afraid to just say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you know many times it's because we know what he'll say and our flesh is saying, I really don't want to do that. But Saul said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I would this morning that more of us open our heart and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? We're not here to please ourselves, to serve the flesh, but Lord, I want to please you. So what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things that are appointed for thee to do. I'm not going to give you all the information right now, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to get up and go to Damascus. Do you know sometimes the Lord does not choose to tell us what he has in mind for tomorrow, but he wants us to be obedient in the things that he has for us to do today. Is it fair to ask us this morning, are we doing today what the Lord wants us to do? I don't know what all God has in mind for tomorrow, but Lord, would you help us today to live a life of obedience today, acting and living and having the spirit that you want us to have, living a life of holiness and carefulness, forgiving our enemies, going the extra mile for those that have not treated us right. Lord, help me to live a life of obedience today. How are we doing this morning? Have we heard the Lord speak? So what are we going to do with it? You know what's up to you? The Lord is not going to force, young people, the Lord is not going to force any of us to obey Him. He's not going to follow us around with a shotgun to our head. He's not going to twist our arm and say, you have better do this. But He is looking for people to say, Lord, we choose you. And we know what your will is. We know what you're calling for. So Lord, help me to be faithful. The Lord said, I want you to get up. And we find that while Saul could not see for the glory of the light, we find that he got up. And you know where he went? He went to Damascus. Why? Because that's what the Lord told me to do. May the Lord help us to be challenged by the life of Paul this morning. He got up and he did what the Lord had required. This, and then we find that he went on, and we'll skip down to verse, maybe for the sake of time a little bit, verse 14. It said, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee." This is after Ananias laid his hands and prayed for him, and he received the Holy Spirit. He said, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldst know our will and see the just one." The Lord had a special call on Paul's life. Young people, make no mistake this morning. The Lord has a call for your life. He has something in mind for your life. But our job is to today live a life of obedience, that when the Lord calls tomorrow, I'm gone to Damascus because that's what you wanted me to do. So Lord, now I'm in Damascus. What do you want me to do? And then the Lord gave further instruction of the call that he had on his life. The Lord has a call on each one of our lives this morning. You young married folks this morning, God has a call for you. There is something the Lord has for you to do in the kingdom of God, but it's going to start by living a life of daily obedience to the things of the Lord. And Paul was a man, just think about how the Lord used Paul. He went and he was a missionary in essence to the Gentiles. This was the man that said, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be what? Content." This is a man that said, you know, I've suffered shipwrecked and I've been beaten. And this is a man who, from the very people that should have been honoring him, they cast his name out as evil. They people in some of the congregations that he wrote accused him of being proud. They accused him of being self-serving. They didn't listen to him. They didn't respect his ministry. This is a man that suffered many things, and yet he said, "Though the outward man perish, yet what? The inward man is renewed day by day. Yes, there's hardship, but I found that in serving the Lord Jesus in a life of obedience, it's a good life." He said, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of what? Righteousness." In other words, I'm looking forward to something. Another place he said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God." This is a man that although he suffered many things, he found joy in serving Jesus Christ. This morning I want us to remember that if we will obey and do what the Lord asks us to do, there is no better life than a life of obedience. The enemy would like us to think that if we will do it my way instead of God's way, that then I'll be happy. If I can get my way, I can do what I think, I can do what I want. That has not brought happiness to people. Young people, be wise and look around at people that have chosen their own way. How's it ended for them? As they grow older, do you see them being fulfilled and really happy? Do you see the anointing of the Lord on their life? I haven't found that. But I found that people that have followed Paul's example, the Lord called them and they were obedient. I found that they had a blessed life. The Lord wants to bless our lives this morning, but it's going to come through obedience, even when we don't want to in the flesh. Even when we don't want to. Paul, another place, said, "I count all things but loss. I just count them but loss. I count them but dung." Why? For the excellency of the knowledge of God in Christ Jesus. Because I found something better in obedience. If you are faced with a decision this morning and you have heard the Lord calling, if you have, and maybe this message just for one, I don't know who it's for. I trust it's for all of us. But if you have heard the Lord calling and you know what He wants, I want to challenge and encourage you to obey the voice of the Lord. Follow through on it. Be obedient. There are many people in our world today that they say and they do not. With the mouth, Jesus said, some they profess with their mouth, and say, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord," and yet they go and they're not obedient. The Lord is looking for a people who will say, yes, Lord, and then go and obey and do what He said. It's the best life this morning. Scripture in Isaiah chapter 1, it said, the willing, if ye be willing, it said if, it was conditional. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall what? Eat the good of the land. You want to eat the good of the land this morning? Do you really want the best that life has to offer young people? It's going to come through a life of obedience. And you say, yes, but shipwreck and being beaten and having your name cast out as evil. I'll tell you what, Paul was able to sleep at night. He was able to have the peace of God in his heart. Yes, there were some sacrifices involved when you answer the call of God. But the enemy wants to paint a picture that a life of obedience is a hard life. I want you to know the devil is a liar this morning. Young people, if the Bible teaches something and you don't understand it, can you yet come to a place to say, Lord, I'll obey you. I don't understand and my flesh is wanting to go do this, but Lord, by your help, I'm going to obey you. Because Jesus said, if ye love me, ye will what? Keep my commandments. This isn't about force this morning. It is about love. It's about, Lord, I will obey you even when I don't understand. When a parent tells a child something and says, don't do that, and they try to start arguing with their parent, it doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? They start arguing with their parent. The parent is looking for obedience, and the parent should enforce that obedience. But with the Lord this morning, He's looking for obedience because we love Him. But let's make no mistake this morning. If we say we love God, but yet we are not obeying what the Bible teaches, we don't love God. It's religion. Oh, I'm following my list of rules. Can't do this, and if you go to church there, you have to do that and can't do that. That's the devil. You can live however you want to live this morning. Children, obey your parents. But when you get out on your own, we have the right and the privilege to live how we want to live. But I want us to know that serving the Lord and being obedient to the Word of God will bring the greatest blessings of life. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, Jesus said. He also came to bring us peace. The peace of the world is not come about by getting our own way. This morning I was meditating, and this applies to so many things, a lot of times in relationships with people. But it's true with God as well. Do you know, just because you get your own way doesn't mean you win. Winning is not getting your own way. I'll tell you, it doesn't work that way. And there are some situations that I found sometimes when you die out to yourself, it's like, oh, they're going to win. No, no. No, no. You humble your heart before God, you're the winner. It doesn't matter how someone else is treating you. You humble your heart, and they may think they win, but you're the winner when you humble your heart to God. That's the truth of it. And it's the same in the flesh and the spirit. The flesh is desiring one thing, and the Word of God teaches something different. The way of the world is contrary to the things of God this morning. We have a choice, though. What are we going to do? Follow the world? Follow the flesh? Or are we going to say yes to the Lord and follow Him? We have a decision to make. And yet, when we follow the Lord, and it hurts, and we say, yes, Lord, I'll do what you want, we come out the winners. And that's not just hypothetical. It's not just in spiritual la-la land. This is a reality that when we say yes to the Lord, there is an inner peace that the world cannot take away from us. It's the best way to live this morning, saying, yes, Lord, I will obey you if ye be willing and obedient. Obedient, saying yes and doing it. He said, ye shall eat the good of the land. You want the good of the land this morning? Sometimes people say, this just isn't working. I'm not finding a lot of satisfaction in serving the Lord. Have you been obedient? Well, I have in this, 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 and this, but there's just one thing that I'm kind of reserving to myself. That one thing could be the hindrance of your victory in the Lord Jesus. That one thing. If ye be guilty of one thing, it can separate us from God. but when we can say, Lord, speak. Thy servant heareth. What do you want me to do, Lord? Paul had so many blessings. So let's contrast the life of Saul then, who had a blessed life. Does anybody disagree with that? Did Paul have a blessed life? Just read the scripture. You say, well, he sure had a lot of hard things, but what was he pointing us to? He found something greater. He found a good life. Let's contrast that with King Saul. Remember King Saul, a man, if he was not a short man like Paul. Now, Saul in the Old Testament was a tall man. Tall, good-looking, strong, talented, capable. And the Lord looked on and he chose him to be the king of Israel. Called him to be king, but we find in the 15th chapter, and for the sake of time again, we will not read the whole story, but I believe most of you are familiar with it. In the 15th chapter of Samuel, of 1 Samuel, we find that the prophet gave Saul some advice when they were going to go out to battle to the Amalekites, which we studied a few weeks ago, if you'll recall. And he told them, he said, do not spare anything. Kill all of the animals. Destroy everything. That was the word of God. Very clearly, destroy it all. And yet we find that Saul, in his own thinking, in his own wisdom, they reserved some of the sheep. So when the prophet came, we'll just maybe pick up around verse 13. Well, I wanted to read. Going to save a little bit of time here. So verse 11, it said, the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, it repented me that I set up Saul to be king, for he turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. It was because he'd spared some of the sheep. So Samuel went to meet Saul, and in verse 14, he said, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowering of the ox in which I hear? And if you read through this passage, Samuel said, why didn't you follow the Lord? And this is Saul's response, and I'm paraphrasing. He said, I did. I did exactly what the Lord said. And so Samuel said, but why do I hear the sheep? The Lord told you to kill them. He said, well, let me justify it. It was the people. It was not me. It was the people that kept that. Well, but the Lord said, destroy them. Well, they were going to offer sacrifices to the Lord. In other words, taking disobedience and painting it up to look spiritual. All right, was Saul the only person that's ever done that? The Lord said, destroy the sheep. But I can use the sheep to offer sacrifices. Folks, I've heard many people, some that used to worship with us this morning, take what the Lord said to destroy and said, we can use this for the Lord. It doesn't work. It doesn't matter what our thinking is. God's way is up here. And we're down here. So who are we going to listen to? God said, destroy the sheep. So that means when the Lord has called for us and told us what He wants us to do, and we think, but such and such, these are the reasons I can do it differently. I want us to remember that obedience, just like He said, and we'll read it here, He said that obedience, to obey, in verse 22, Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. This morning, as we make our decisions, let's remember that obedience to the Lord is better than sacrifice. When the Lord lays out how He wants us to live, and we obey A, B, C, and D, and E, and F, but G, you know what, I'm going to do that a little differently. We've got it all planned out in our minds, just like King Solomon. The Lord said, do not marry women of other nations, in other words, idolaters. And out of political expediency,
He disobeyed the Lord, and he had a lot of logical reasons. In his old age, his heart was turned away from God. Folks, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. It's foolishness with God. So is there anyone here this morning that will say, Lord, I'll obey. I want to live a life of obedience. Do you remember what Saul's end was? Saul, King Saul now we're talking about here, the Lord took his blessings off of his kingdom. Saul got his way though, didn't he? He got his way, didn't he? And yet, we find that evil spirits came on him. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't rest. He became suspicious of everyone. Everyone's out to take my kingdom. Everyone's out to get me. Everyone's out to... And we find that it disrupted his family relationships with Jonathan, his son. We find that David, even after he'd been anointed, Saul spent a lot of his time chasing David. Is that a man that won? We have Paul on one hand, and we have King Saul in the Old Testament. One obeyed the Lord, and one disobeyed. And look at how they ended up. Look at the quality of life they had. And so the question for us this morning is, are we going to live a life of obedience, knowing that that's going to bring the greatest blessings in life? Or are there things, I just want to do it my way. Yeah, I know that that's what the saints have done. I know that's what the Bible teaches that. And I know I need to be careful there, but I'm going to do it my way. We have that privilege this morning. But let's not be ignorant of the fact that a life of obedience is a good life. It will give you the strongest marriages. It will give you the strongest family. It will give you the greatest peace and the greatest contentment in life when we say yes to the Lord, even in the hard things. Because the result is so much better than a life of disobedience. When we choose to disobey God, and again, I'm not picking on the young people, but my prayer is that we will get it this morning. We cannot pick and choose what we're going to obey the Lord in and what we're not and maintain the blessings of God on our life. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. Yes, I know I'm not doing that, but Lord, I went out and I made $1,500. I made $2,000 this week, and Lord, I'm giving it all to you. Anybody here done that this week? Lord might be asking you to. But I want to tell you something. I gave everything I got this week. I gave it all to the Lord. But do you know the Lord looks on that and says, you know what? It's better for you to obey. Obedience is better than your sacrifice. And you say, but I've given my time. I went and helped this person in need, and I went and sacrificed over here, and you're a wonderful person. But the scripture still says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Will you obey me in this area of your life? Will you give this up for me? I'm asking you to give that up. Well, no, I want to hold on to that, but Lord, I'll do this for you. The Lord does not have a barter system. He doesn't have a barter system, but he's looking for consecrated people this morning that will hear the voice of the Lord and say, Lord, I'm all in. And I want to live a life of obedience. There's much more that could be said, but do you know that when we humble our hearts to the Lord in the hard places, and if you're struggling this morning, we've been there. All right? Young people, young marrieds, older ones, you're not the first one to face the choices and the battle that you're in, maybe in this morning. But time has proven that obedience is so much better than disobedience. Obedience to God's way. Obedience can be a challenge because there's a war that goes on there. But obeying God is not only, let me just say this, obedience is essential to the life of a Christian. Okay. There is more than one person agree this morning? If we're going to follow Christ, this is not what the religious world is teaching this morning, all right? But I don't want there to be any confusion in this congregation. And I say this in love. If we are going to follow Christ, we have to obey in every area of life. Do we fail sometimes? Yes. Do we make mistakes? Yes. Do we misunderstand? Yes. But when our heart is, Lord, that's where I want to get. I may have messed up and fallen short, maybe, but Lord, I want to obey. Lord, help me do better next time. Help me to grow. We have to have that spirit and motivation of love if we're going to serve Christ. Otherwise, all we have is another church, another fellowship, another little group of people that come together. Maybe a little different than the world, but in the end, it's not going to accomplish anything unless we say, Lord, here's my heart, and out of love, I will say yes to you. In closing, Luke chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. I want to encourage you as you open your heart this week to the voice of the Lord. May we follow through and say, yes, Lord, I will obey. It's hard and it's difficult sometimes, but it will bring the victory and the peace and the joy. A life of obedience is a basic requirement for following Jesus. But we live in an age where many people are professing with their mouth to follow Jesus, but their works are not proving it. Will you be that one this morning? Will you be the one that will say, Lord, even if it's lonely and I'm the only one, Lord, I will follow you and I will obey. There may be some here this morning that the Lord is calling, not only to give something up, but that the Lord is calling because he has something for you to do. He's calling your name. We say, oh, I don't want to do that. If you will submit to the call of God, he will give you the grace to enable you every time to be obedient, and you will find it is the most fulfilling life, a life of obedience.